speak, then bring me your copies.
Okay.
Okay, perfect.
No problem.
Council, come to order. Sue, please call the roll.
Leonard.
Here.
Fritz. Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Adams.
Please read item 1382 under communications.
Request of Shedrick J. Wilkins to address council regarding Memorial Coliseum should not be torn down.
Hi, I'm...
Good morning, Mr. Wilkins. Go ahead and pull up a chair.
Morning.
And you'll have 3 minutes.
Well, I'm Shedrick J. Wilkins, and I'm trying to be like a metaphysical Santa Claus for the homeless. I've never had a beard in my life. This thing itches. I'm going to shave it off. But anyway, I like the mood of the country. I think Oregon is ahead of the nation in this healthy kids thing. We're getting, I think we're one of 5 states. I like the new NASA, that young people are inspired that we can go back to the moon and maybe go to Mars. And the third part about it is I like the idea that the Memorial Coliseum used as a film studio and maybe some center for the homeless. In July, I'm homeless, and in July I went to the Downtown Connections. That's a place that there should be a lot of connecting things to the homeless. It was done in the summertime where it's nice and warm. I got a dental hygiene checkup for free. I don't like the fact that the city of Portland does a lot, or homeless people do things in the wintertime where people get rained on, right, and stand in line. The Memorial Coliseum should not be torn down. It should be kept. It should be used for like a place for homeless people to outreach. It's built, I think, on veterans' property, the Korean War thingy or whatever it is. I'm a veteran. I'd like to see it used for such. And I like to see the Memorial Coliseum maybe used as a film studio. It's been mentioned that it has a large interior space. Maybe they could film science fiction movies there. NBC is filming a TV show called Grimm here. So I just want to say that's generally when people here start talking, they're going to talk all negatively. I'm trying to mention positive things about Portland, what Portland can do for the homeless, right? Downtown Connections was excellent in July, right after the 4th of July. Okay. You know, and when you have people standing in line in the wintertime catching pneumonia for free health care and stuff, this is not a good idea. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Sue, please read item 1383 under the regular agenda.
1383, monitor on a pilot basis small-scale overnight sleeping options to occur on the site of religious institutions or community services uses operated by nonprofit agency, and charge the director of the Bureau of Development Services to not enforce code violations associated with these activities operated under the pilot program guidelines.
Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have some brief opening remarks, but I'd like to welcome forward Tracy Manning, the director of the Portland Housing Bureau, David Leslie, the executive director of Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, Mark Jolin, the executive director of JOIN, and Commissioner Deborah Cafori from our friends across the river in Multnomah County. Colleagues, the City of Portland, Multnomah County, and faith community leaders are committed to long-term, cost-effective solutions to ending homelessness in our community. But we are also looking for options to more immediately address the needs for safe emergency solutions. Other communities, including Eugene and Seattle, already allow or are looking at options for faith communities to host small-scale overnight sleeping options. At the request of Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, my office and the Portland Housing Bureau helped to convene several faith community leaders, homeless service providers, Commissioner Saltzman's office, Multnomah County, the Bureau of Development Services, to explore opportunities for similar options here in Portland. From these conversations, we're bringing forward this resolution, which outlines general guidelines for a one-year pilot of small-scale overnight sleeping options and instructs the Bureau of Development Services not to enforce code violations associated with these activities. In very general terms, the guidelines look like this. Up to 4 vehicles or RVs will be allowed in the parking lot of a faith community partner or a not-for-profit service provider. Hosts will be required to make sure there's access to water, sanitary facilities, and trash disposal. Hosts and guests will be charged with proactively addressing potential negative impacts on surrounding neighborhoods. Now, we've had some conversations with the Portland Police Bureau, and before this program officially rolls out, we'll continue to work with the Bureau to ensure that we're all on the same page as far as protocols for managing this pilot. The Multnomah County Commission is expected to pass a related supporting proclamation at its meeting tomorrow, at which I have been invited to testify. At a time when the need for services far exceeds our existing shelter, housing, and service resources, this resolution will create policy space for the faith community to develop relationships with homeless service providers to provide emergency help for people experiencing homelessness. It is, in my view, a common sense and pragmatic response to the crisis we find ourselves in, but let no one think that this is a substitute for the hard work of building and preserving affordable housing for all in our community. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Tracy Manning to tee us up. Welcome, Tracy.
Thank you, Commissioner. And thank you, Commissioner Leonard, Commissioner Saltzman, as well as Commissioner Fish for sponsoring this resolution. Just a couple things to add to frame the resolution before we get quickly to our honored guests. So we know that homelessness continues to be a critical issue, both in Portland and nationally. We were able to count in our last one-night street count 1,700 people living on the street. We've seen a 35% increase in family homelessness locally over the last couple of years, but we also know this, we're part of a national trend. We've recently received calls from other major cities across the nation who are seeing the same trend in an increase in family homelessness and wanting to know how we're responding. Our Multnomah County family shelters are inundated. So what are we doing? Big picture, Portland and Multnomah County are halfway through our 10-year plan to end homelessness, and that really addresses permanent solutions. Just last year, 2,000 people were placed in permanent housing through the efforts of our partners. So this resolution responds to a request from Ecumenical Ministries, which I will let David Leslie outline, to allow them to host small-scale overnight sleeping options within the city. The resolution was outlined by Commissioner Fish, and we will be monitoring the progress throughout the course of the year, measuring its effectiveness, who's participating, and we'll report back to City Council in about 12 months. So without further ado, the success of this pilot depends very much on our partners in the faith community, the nonprofit community, and in Multnomah County. I want to quickly thank Portland Housing Bureau staff. We would not have gotten this far without the expertise of Ryan Dibert and Sally Erickson, who've been doing this work for years and are terribly smart about it, as well as BDS staff and the Portland Police helping advise us about how to draw this up correctly, and the staff of the commissioner's offices. So without further ado, David Leslie, Ecumenical Ministries.
Good morning. I'm David Leslie, Director of Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon. EMO is a statewide association of Christian denominations, congregations, and cooperative organizations working to improve the lives of all Oregonians through interreligious dialogue, program development, advocacy, and community ministries and services. Most of our community ministry programs are in the greater Portland area and are focused on addressing root causes of poverty and the impact of poverty on both individuals and our larger community. A particular concern today to many of our members is, in fact, the growing number of individuals and families who are homeless or at risk of becoming homeless throughout the state, including here in the Portland metro area. While there is much need, we are also very fortunate to live in a region where numerous religious congregations and faith-based social ministries open their doors daily and nightly to those who are homeless. The services provided include hospitality, spiritual support, meals, cash assistance, shelter. referral, and other outreach efforts that help address immediate needs and move people from hopelessness into new life possibilities. Many faith communities collaborate with public agencies and community-based nonprofit organizations, ensuring a greater impact by serving together and making that impact greater than they would if they worked alone. Additionally, many religious leaders in our community are also engaged in multi-sector planning and visioning efforts to develop new strategies and program resources to meet the growing needs in the region. So it's in this vein this morning that we are pleased to add our support to the resolution before you that would allow and monitor on a pilot project basis overnight sleeping options hosted on a voluntary basis by congregations or nonprofits on their property for people who are indeed homeless, including an increasing number of families with children who are living in their vehicles, their campers, their RVs, or their trailers. There are similar projects that have been successfully implemented in numerous communities throughout the country, including most closely Eugene, Oregon, which was also supported by EMO. The resolution before you will allow the support of faith communities in the city of Portland to utilize their property, including parking lots and buildings, in new and expanded ways to positively address the needs of those who are homeless. By offering a safe and secure site for overnight sleeping, complete with access to restrooms, temporary storage facilities, possibly showers and other services, those who discover the congregation's hospitality will have more stability in their lives and be in a better position to begin the move from being homeless into permanent housing. Additionally, congregations who develop these important relations with people who are homeless, they will therefore enhance their understanding of the complex aspects of homelessness and poverty. Long term, our hope is that through these type of relationships and encounters, more faith communities will support the development of more permanent housing and be active partners in providing additional resources that will reduce the level of homelessness in our community. Towards these ends, EMO and other partners are ready and willing to co-sponsor training and education forums to ensure successful implementation of the pilot project and also to enhance faith-based participation in programs and initiatives that are already in our community to serve those people who are homeless and seeking long-term, affordable, permanent housing. During the season of Thanksgiving and the anticipation of possibilities for the new year, I want to particularly thank Commissioner Fish for his leadership on issues related to homelessness and housing and for his commitment to this resolution. I also want to thank the entire Portland City Council for your support in the ongoing development of collaborative partnerships with all sectors in our community to improve the livability for all our residents, especially those who live on the economic and social margins. Also, I want to add my thanks to the Bureau and all the departments that have helped put this important initiative resolution together. It's in this spirit that Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon supports this resolution and thanks you for putting it on our docket this morning.
Thank you, David. Thank you for your leadership. Mark?
Good morning, Commissioner Leonard, Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Fish. My name is Mark Jolin. I'm the Executive Director of JOIN. We're a close partner with the city in the effort to end homelessness in this community. Our specific work is street outreach to people who are sleeping outside or in their vehicles and helping them get back into permanent housing. 2 years ago, JOIN was part of a group of providers and advocates that came together under the umbrella of the 10-year plan to end homelessness to talk about strategies to ensure a good night's sleep and a minimum of security and predictability for people who were still living outside or in their vehicles. The idea of a Eugene-style initiative that would allow small numbers of people to sleep in church and other parking lots came up in those conversations. While itself, of course, not a solution to homelessness, we recognized that if someone had a place to get a good night's sleep and knew their vehicle and belongings would be safe, they'd have the energy and peace of mind to spend their days working on getting off the streets. The idea appealed to JOIN because even then we were starting to see a growing number of people sleeping in their cars. And this year in particular, we've seen an unprecedented number of families with children staying in their vehicles. Right now, they are illegally parked on public streets or taking their chances in retail store parking lots. They live with a constant fear that they'll be told to move on, ticketed, or towed. We worked with a veteran last year who was living in his RV in a rotating series of big box parking lots in East Portland. One afternoon, he left his vehicle, went downtown to access services. He returned and his RV had been towed. He didn't have the money to pay the tow and the storage fees, so he lost the vehicle, but worse, because of the way our tow lien laws worked, he was not able to get back any of his personal possessions. The loss of those possessions was a significant, very significant, emotional setback for him, and it was a setback to our efforts to help him get back into an apartment. For someone like this or a family that we're working with to get off the streets, having a partnership with a church that allows us to offer them a temporary, secure place for themselves and their belongings will be incredibly valuable. It will help them live more safely while they are still on the streets and allow them to work more effectively with us to get off the streets. I want to thank the faith community and Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon in particular for their advocacy of this idea. We are here today in large part because of their initiative. The faith community plays so many important roles in our response to homelessness, and this will be one more important resource that churches and other religious communities can offer. I also want to thank Commissioner Fish for his leadership on this issue, and the staff at the Portland Housing Bureau and the Bureau of Development Services, both of which worked hard to find a way to make this initiative possible. This is an important effort. It gives us one more option for people who are sleeping on our streets, and importantly, it is low cost and flexible so that it complements rather than takes away from our focus on helping people end their homelessness. Thank you all for your sponsorship and your support of this resolution.
Thank you, Mark. It's our pleasure to also introduce Commissioner Deborah Cafori, who is a champion for families and children experiencing homelessness in our community and is our partner in all of our work to end homelessness. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us here today. I'm Deborah Cafori, Multnomah County Commissioner. Partnering with the faith community on efforts to end homelessness is nothing new. I want to make sure that everyone understands that of the homeless family shelters in our community, 100% of those shelters are as a result of our partnership with the faith community. Hopefully you've all read the editorial in today's Oregonian about a very special relationship we have with the Eastminster Presbyterian to have the Winter Warming Center located there. About 2 weeks ago, it really hit home for me the level of crisis we have in our community. You see it when you're walking downtown. You feel it. You hear it. But I received a phone call from our friends, Human Solutions, who run the Eastminster shelter in the winter months. And they told us that they had the prior night 90 individuals, over half of whom were children. That's a 150% increase from the highest night we had last year. In addition, on that same day, I spoke with Liesl Wendt, who runs 211 Information, the information referral line that our community uses to access social services. And she told me that on the Monday of that week, they had received more phone calls for assistance than they had ever received. And in fact, her staff was really, their morale was at an all-time low because they were having to turn away people and tell them that there was nothing that they could do to help them. So it's in that vein that I come to you today in very strong support of this resolution. And in fact, tomorrow, Multnomah County, as Commissioner Fish said, tomorrow Multnomah County will be introducing a similar resolution supporting yours and proclaiming that Multnomah County will do the same in our areas that are, we have a much smaller jurisdiction that is not enveloped in a city, so it's just merely the unincorporated areas of Multnomah County, but we will be doing the same measure, and we have the full support of our board and of our sheriff's office as well for that. In addition, tomorrow, the Multnomah County Commission will be taking up a resolution for a one-time-only request for over $750,000 to assist these families to get out of shelter and get into permanent housing. The bulk of the money will go into our collaborative effort we have, which is short-term rent assistance. It is by far the most cost-effective way to end homelessness we have. It's by keeping people in their homes, helping them with eviction prevention so that they aren't facing these issues before us today. I can't thank enough to, David Leslie and the folks at EMO for bringing this resolution to our attention and all three of you today who are here, who are co-sponsoring it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your leadership, Deborah.
Thank you.
That concludes, I believe, our formal presentation, Mr. President.
Great.
Thank
do we
you
have
all.
A sign-up sheet, Sue?
We do. We have 21 people signed up.
Okay. We'll have 2 minutes apiece. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you. Thank you. Will the first four come up, please? Shedrick Wilkins, Jen Davis, Melvin Street, Lisa Fay. They'll be followed by Trillium Shannon, Katie Kelly, Tanya Watson, and Arlo Stone.
Good morning. Welcome to each of you this morning. You'll each have 2 minutes. You just need to give your name, and there's a clock in front of you. So why don't we start? Why don't you hold on? Let's start right here.
Okay. Thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Jennifer Davis. I'm a mom and two kids. I live in Southeast Portland. I'm not homeless, but I got involved with this issue because in my early 20s, I was homeless briefly, and I know how difficult and scary it can be, particularly for a woman, to be homeless. So I wrote you a little letter. So, commissioners, as you have heard, the most recent figures released in homelessness is increased dramatically over the past year, and all of our city services and resources are tapped to the very limit. There's a special need for women's housing, for which the need is dramatically increasing, with very limited housing available to them. So the Right to Dream Camp, I don't know if you've been down there, but I invite you to check it out. I went down there and checked it out because I was interested in this issue. And it's very clean. It's a safe place, somewhat warm. They have a couple tarps over their tents. Drug and alcohol and violence-free temporary option for a group of desperate human beings whose only crime is really to not have the money for a safe place to stay. Actually, a number of the people living there are working, but they just don't have quite enough money to put a full-time roof over their head. And I am very appalled, as a citizen of Portland, which I dearly love, that a few days before Christmas, in this cold winter, the city could even contemplate fining or dismantling this critical haven for desperate human beings. As you may know, most temporary shelter in Portland is on a first-come, first-served basis. And I did research into this. There's hundreds that are denied or just don't have access to this for health reasons. People wait for hours daily to get into a place to lay a sleeping bag on a crowded dormitory floor. It's unhygienic. There's no privacy. And those who can't gain admittance must sleep in doorways or overpasses or under overpasses and are vulnerable to the cold, rain, and illness.
Thank
Is my 3 minutes up? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Sir?
Commissioners, my name is Melvin Street, and I'm a citizen here in Portland, Oregon. And I'd like to be able to speak about the Right to Dream, too. It's a very safe and type of environment where homelessness is be able to get off the street. It's safe and secure. And myself, I am homeless. I was not able to afford my own home. I work 5 days a week, but at the time, I can't be able to afford that. So for me to be able to be not only a supporter, but also a person that actually does live in a secured resting area at Right to Dream 2, and ask that you be able to look into and review more of what the success that the people that are there are doing to assist those that are in the community. They are doing a great job in being able to keep it safe and secure, and not only that, to keep the crime rate level off from the areas. Also, the drug and alcohol is zero that are at that part of the community. The people that also, the other supporters and the other people that are running the Right to Dream 2 are assisting on communication level on be able to direct different resources to help those that are living out there. Also, there's tents that are having tarps that are on the secured from the rain. Extra blankets that are being donated, as myself also help, sleeping bags and food. We do have ways of having ways you can use the restroom instead of have to go running around through the middle of the night to try to use one or trying to find somewhere where we can sleep. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wilkins.
I think that churches should be used, church property should be used for the homeless. For the last 10 months I've been homeless. My job at Target was saved by City Team Ministries, which is in Southeast Grand Avenue. They have a big Christian cross when you come in there. Luckily, by the faith of God, that my job was not at night. So I was able to, like, get up in the morning at 6 o'clock, go to my job, and come back there. I've come up with the same conclusion that these people come up, the churches need to be used for the homeless. The biggest and the best church in Portland that deals with the homeless is the Unitarian Church. They're a political church. They're on 13th and Salmon. There's a warming center for homeless people. A year ago, they agreed with Commissioner Fish that they had to take the worst case scenario that homelessness will increase, okay, which it has, and that's why everybody's here. So, or that the economy may not recover. And this was a year ago. And by the way, I keep reminding people that last Christmas, two people died in downtown Portland from hypothermia. And there's always a lot of little church basements around here where people could stay, or the parking lot, or they could stay in their vehicle. And my job was saved by a church, or a church group.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Lisa Fay. As a strong believer of the need for a safe place to sleep, and housing is a human right, someone who has experienced houselessness, I thank you for the opportunity to address you today. The concept of allowing people to sleep in vehicles on church property is good, providing you have a vehicle to sleep in. However, it does not address the issue that many houseless people cannot afford to obtain or maintain a vehicle. At Right to Dream 2, we have created a safe community where women, people with pets, couples, and individuals can come and get a safe place to sleep, obtain resource information, have energy to make life choices, function in their ability to make wise choices for their future, such as keeping Right to Dream 2 free from outside conflicts, look for and keep jobs, make and keep up appointments, and show the community that the unhoused can still be responsible contributors to the community as a whole. Right to Dream 2 was created and is ran on a shoestring budget without cost to the city. Right to Dream 2 is a model that is replicable in just one avenue, along with providing vehicles in churches, in the efforts to provide a solution to our city's growing problem of houselessness. Thank you.
Thank you. Sue, please call the next four.
The next four, please come up. Trillium Shannon, Katie Kelly, Tanya Watson, Arlo Stone. They'll be followed by Ibrahim Mubarak, Leo Rhodes, Kevin Nolan, and Derek Shelton.
Good morning. You have 2 minutes.
Okay. My name is Trillium Shannon. I'm a member of Right to Survive, a grassroots organization led by unhoused and formerly unhoused community members here in Portland. I support the ordinance to allow people to camp in their vehicles on church parking lots. However, this ordinance fails to address the state of emergency faced by people surviving without shelter in the Rose City. We need multiple solutions for people who don't have a safe, secure place to sleep. Conservative estimates put that number at 1,700. We at Right to Survive know that this is a gross underestimate. Meanwhile, down the street at Right to Dream 2, a self-managed rest area dedicated to assuring members a safe and undisturbed place to sleep, the Bureau of Development Services is preparing to find this successful peer support group out of existence, displacing them back onto hard sidewalks and into the cold rain. I believe that you, our commissioners, have the power to step in and work with the members of Right to Dream 2, first to make sure that they may continue to support one another at the site on 4th and Burnside, and secondly, to learn from the people who know best what immediate solutions are available to help people get back on their feet and contribute their skills and talents. Working side by side with unhoused community members, I have learned that we need not one, but a multitude of creative solutions. Right to Dream 2 is one successful model which should be replicated, not destroyed. When the most vulnerable members of our city pull together to improve their lives and others, they should be applauded and supported. Clearly, you, our commissioners, have the ability to work with BDS to suspend code violations for Right to Dream 2. That will be a start. We're going to need more than one small-scale camping and parking lots, more than R2-D2. We need to stop criminalizing people who are exercising their right to survive. Will you sit at the table with unhoused community members to craft solutions?
Thank you. Are you going to testify?
Yes.
Please take a seat.
My back is killing me.
Okay.
My turn. I'm Tanya Watson. I'm a part of Right to Dream 2. I'm here to show support of any positive changes to our rights as a houseless community. I hear about a 10-year solution, and if we're halfway through this 10-year solution and we've only housed 2,000 people in permanent housing, does that mean that there's only another 2,000 people that need help? I don't believe so. I heard the 1,700, but I think a lot of people do get overlooked. Some aren't counted, and we do turn away people daily. So thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you. Good morning.
I'm Katie Kelly, and I am part of Right to Dream, Right to Dream 2 as well. I am 8 months pregnant and working on getting all my stuff taken care of so that I can get off the streets. I'm very grateful for the Right to Dream 2. I think it's helped a lot of people. I think it's, you know, crime's gone down. I think it's helped, you know, people, you know, get jobs that didn't have jobs before. We got the cleanest sidewalks because, you know, we do stuff not just in, you know, the rest area, but also in the community, you know. Even though we're homeless as well, living in tents, we've also gone out and given coffee, you know, to people under the bridge and stuff that, you know, aren't as fortunate as us, you know, to have a tent, you know, that's a little bit warmer to sleep in. So I just want to say that I'm grateful for that. And
thank you. Sure.
My name is Arlo Stone. And first of all, thank you for being here and for addressing this issue in a timely manner. We all really appreciate that. We're homeless. What you're being passed out is a summation of what I believe are the logistical, two logistical aspects of your very well-intentioned and crafted plan. The two key provisions that I think need addressing immediately are the electricity issue. You're encouraging the burning of diesel and gasoline engines and generators in old cars inhabited by homeless people, cars with catalytic converters who are at even more risk for accidental carbon monoxide poisoning. And I love the fact that you built a coalition here with advocates from community and faith-based groups, but anybody with hands-on experience would agree that encouraging people in old beat-up cars to idle them for long periods of time is a train wreck. And your bill specifically prohibits temporary or permanent access to electricity. So if we have hosts who are willing and guests who are willing, there's no reason we can't access a power grid that's designed for that and help with the safety of what you're trying to implement. And the second key point is large vehicles only. Accountability, small tents, small, tiny, enclosed spaces is a haven for communities who have logistical addiction and alcohol problems. And these people with at-risk behaviors are going to seek out havens in a storm if you give them the opportunity for unaccountability. So demand big cars, big tents, big whatevers, big containers for us, and let us staff them with CPR-trained and de-escalation providers and give us a chance to be successful and remove the unaccountability and add some safety concerns from the community to your fine proposal, please.
Thank
today,
you.
Today, before you pass it, please.
Thank you. Sue, next four.
Ibrahim Mubarak, Leo Rhodes, Kevin Nolan, Derek Shelton. They'll be followed by Jesse Sponberg, Chuck Harris, Alan Lynn Haley, and Eric Hero.
First of all, I would like to
good morning.
Have four
good.
3 minutes.
Hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 minutes. Second. Good morning to each of you. You'll each have 2 minutes. There's a clock in front of you, Mr. Mubarak. Go ahead.
When did it change to 2 minutes? It's always been 3 minutes.
It's 2 minutes today.
Well, you give everybody else, gave them 3 minutes.
They got 2 minutes.
Well, I'll take my minutes, my 3 minutes. I'm in support and solidarity with the cars in the parking lot of the churches, but however, that don't cover the whole homeless realm of people. You have people that can't afford cars, people can't afford insurance or even license plates. And so what you're doing is creating separatism in the homeless community, saying that they're privileged to stay in a safe place in a church parking lot, but the rest of the people who've been criminalized with nowhere to go are sleeping on the sidewalk. So when we get a campsite or a rest area or a village where people can stay safe, you all don't support that habit. And so I want to appeal to the conscience of your humanitarian spirit, which some of you said you don't have, that you allow places like Right to Dream 2 to exist, places where people can get off the street, where women can feel safe until, in the meantime, they find housing. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Barton. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for letting me speak to you today. I'm a homeless or formerly homeless person. I'm inside now. I've done a lot of things outside, camping on the streets, in tents, in cars. One of the things I like to say is that with Mark Jolin, I was also in that committee where we did have all these opportunities to speak about at least 15 different ways of helping the homeless people. This was one of them. Tent City was another one. What we have to do in this case of where we're at now in the 10-year plan, I believe we're in the 8th year, what they extended because they know that it's a bigger, broader problem than what we have, what they anticipated, so that we have to be creative like this. This is really great, being creative. That's what we need to do. Now, the scare tactics of, like, the gentleman that just spoke before us about the carbon monoxide and all that other, well, homeless people or formerly or people that have lived in cars actually know this stuff already, and they do try to prevent those kind of things. Homeless people that have been out on the streets know the dangers out there, and they prevent these things. Now, Right to Dream 2 actually outlasted Occupy Portland. Why? Because of its stability with its homeless people. Also, it was had very little to no interactions with the homeless or with the police department. Now, these are homeless individuals that are running the homeless encampment by itself or a sleep place by itself. Now, we don't need no kind of interactions with other people because homeless people know what's going on. And that's what we keep trying to tell people is we know what's going on out there. We know how to handle these things. Use us also into these when you implement these kind of things going on. We know these stuff, and we will help on out with you guys if you guys are willing to talk with us.
Thank you very much. Sir?
My name is Kevin Nolan, and I'm a proud supporter of Right to Dream 2. In 2005, the city of Portland embarked on a 10-year mission to end homelessness. We are now in the 7th year. It's only prudent to ask, how are we doing? The Oregonian reports that homelessness has only gone up since that year. Clearly, current measures have been and are inadequate. At the same time, two grassroots solutions have been and are successful. Dignity Village, currently in its 11th year, has provided shelter for thousands. Of those thousands, many have been on waiting lists for permanent housing for years. In early October, another grassroots initiative began on the corner of 4th and Burnside. Right to Dream 2 now provides over 25% of the emergency beds available in the Old Town District. Right to Dream 2 is self-supporting, self-managing, and self-sustaining. Right to Dream 2 costs the city absolutely nothing. Zero police contact, zero expensive sidewalk cleanup, and zero impact on local businesses. At the same time, Right to Dream 2 has received nothing but praise from the local media. Given this early track record of success, one could only ask, what has been the city's response? The city of Portland has cited Right to Dream 2 with two code violations which threaten its very survival. If the city enforces those violations, it will force over 60 people back out onto the streets, inviting police contact, expensive sidewalk cleanup, and the dismay of local businesses.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sir?
My name is Derek Sheldon, and I live at Right to Dream 2 with my wife. And I was going to read this, but I can acapella this. It's a safe place to live. You know, we have little or no police contact. You know, if I wasn't there, I'd be on the sidewalk. And we know how you guys appreciate us being on the sidewalk or underneath the bridge. You guys really love us doing that, you know. Or I would be somewhere that I'm not allowed to be anyway. You know what I'm saying? Right now, I'm in a safe environment. I feel safe. I can leave and go to work, and my wife is to be there safe. And that's what I'm looking for is you guys' support, you know. You guys want to put us back on the street to give us, and then when you go back on the street, you're just going to violate us for being on the street. What do you guys, you know, it makes no sense to me, man. I don't have much to say, but I guarantee you, I'm going to take my whole 2 minutes because I earned this spot. I earned this seat, right? And I want you guys to hear what we got to say, you know. We have no police contact. Our neighbors like us. We clean the sidewalk. We pick up poop. We sweep the sidewalk. We make sure our area is clean. If we see some violence in the street in our neighborhood, we go address that violence. Hey, what are you guys doing? You know, and we try to minimize any kind of drug contact that we have. We have zero tolerance for drugs, zero tolerance. You know, and we will kick you out, and you will leave the premises for having drugs on you or anything. You know what I'm saying? But we always give you a second chance. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we need, a second chance in this place that we live in. I support Right to Dream 2 with all my heart. You know, and I used to do different things, but now I'm here. I love to do volunteer work. I love doing donations. I love being there because I'm safe there. You know, and I have a chance to go to work and save money to get my own place. You know, they talk about joining in other places, but when is joining come to talk to us, man? We need help too. That's all I got.
Thank you very much. Sue, the next four.
Please come up. Jesse Sponberg, Chuck Harris, Alan Lynn Haley, Eric Hero. They'll be followed by Ann Trudeau, Glenn Silberdorf, Claudine Long, and Christopher Ellingson.
Good morning. We each have 2 minutes. Why don't you go ahead?
Yes, sir. First of all, forgive the fact that I didn't wear a suit this time. I slept on the sidewalk last night, even though I have a wonderful house, and I left my kid and my dog there by himself to show solidarity with these people. And I never slept on a sidewalk before yesterday, but it was horrible, man. I mean, it was absolutely horrible. And for you guys to sit up here and act like you have some solution by putting it on the faith-based ministry is as close to idiocracy as I've seen in this city. For you to think that, oh, let me just go grab my car and I'll go sleep in my car, because lots of homeless people have cars. So if I can see this, you guys are just going to postpone this for 12 months, go, hey, let's check out this pilot program. So then in 12 months, what is your recommendation going to be, sir? Is it going to be to build more churches? Is that going to be your answer? We were able, right across the street at Occupy Portland, with the help of people that really gave a crap, to feed and house hundreds and hundreds of people every night, to give these people a chance. And you know why it didn't work? Because you guys didn't work with us. You guys worked against us, and you sent the cops after us. And if all you could do is take what we did at Occupy Portland and take what they're doing at Right to Dream and take what you guys are doing and really actually do something. Not to really, I mean, like, I'm mind blown that I'm sitting here listening to you guys try to recommend that having some poor people sleep in their cars is the solution to homelessness. I don't even need my 2 minutes. I've said enough.
Thank you. Sir?
Yeah, my name is Chuck Harris. I'm a member, proud member of Right to Dream 2. When I first got to Portland, I didn't have any place to stay. I was sleeping on the sidewalk. I was woke up one night by some young men standing by me, wondering if they could get away with stealing my cane. And I thought, what the hell am I going to do? You know, where is there any safe place I can be? I tried the missions. Everybody was full. I got turned away everywhere I went. I went to Right to Dream 2. I was welcomed. And I now have resources that are coming in, but I will get my own place to stay. But as far as Right to Dream 2, I'm a life member. I've never experienced homelessness like this before in my life, and I don't have any magic solutions. I don't have a big church parking lot. I don't have a vehicle. I don't have anything except Right to Dream 2 right now. I will have my own place soon, but I think it is, like Smith said, it's idiocracy to think that church parking lots, or unless you're going to donate cars to the homeless people and give them the money to insure them, license them, and everything else, any solution, any amount that will create to solve the problem would be very minimal at best. And Right to Dream 2, it's an amazing place. If you could spend any time watching how it's conducted, I've seen people ejected because of their drunkenness or their terrible behavior, or things that go against our code of conduct. And I'm glad that it's there. And I know a lot of other people are too. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
My name is Alan, and I would just like to say, I know it's not Ra's fault or Da's fault or even Mr. Fish over here that we are homeless. I understand your anger. There's also a couple things I'd like to speak on, but I'm going to try to speed it up. I know Cincinnati has has a lot of programs, unlike Portland, but I'm pretty sure Cincinnati's well-funded in this for a good reason. There's a lot more homeless people there than here. They have like 6 shelters, and they even, you know. I don't want to blame anybody for my issue. I have come to terms with it. It is now my choice to be homeless. You know, I mean, if you have no other choice, then it's your only choice. I want to thank you all for taking the time and listening to us. I'm only an overnighter, and just the 2 nights I've been there, I've been treated very well. Last night, I slept very well. It's not perfect, but they're, you know, people can stir things up without saying words, you know, and that's kind of what happened. And a few people have been yesterday. They were ejected out for specific things, such as one was drug use, I heard. So, with that,
not me, those guys.
Yeah, building the churches and all that. I mean, there's plenty of churches. What I'm saying is, you know, I understand your anger, but
I can't do nothing about it.
That was uncalled for.
Thank you very much.
Back to those guys. Start.
Let's not speak out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. You're fine.
Good morning. My name is Eric Haru. I'm with Occupy Portland. I was the principal author of a letter to you guys and to the mayor back in October. It's probably forgotten now, but it was in support of Right to Dream 2. And it called upon you to end criminalization of the homeless. So I'm here to congratulate you on taking a step in that direction. Thank you. This is a tentative step. It's a rather timid step, and I can sympathize with your position. You're caught between a rock and a hard place, between the Portland Business Alliance and all of the people you're hearing today. But I'm here to sort of hold your feet to the fire. I'm also one of the dozens of organizers that shut down the West Coast ports. So I'm here to say, you know, we're appealing to your, as Commissioner Fish said, your common sense. But we're also here promising more support for Right to Dream too. And I'd like to repeat what this first gentleman said, that the step that you've taken is in the right direction, but the contradiction that you've just created is yet another class divide. You're addressing people who have cars, and many unhoused people have no car. So you've just created yet another divide. So you have the people with homes, all the people on the commission, and now the people who have a car and maybe can have some compromise, and then, again, those who are completely without. So we're calling upon you to address that also. Can you include everyone? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sue, next four.
And the next four are Ann Trudeau, Glenn Silberstorff, Claudine Long, Christopher Ellingson. They'll be followed by Michael O'Callaghan, Bao Yong, and Cameron Witten.
Good morning. You'll each have 2 minutes, and ma'am, we'll start with you. Okay.
My name is Anne LaFleur Trudeau. I'm a mother, a writer, a community organizer, and a supporter of Right to Survive and Right to Dream Too. Thanks to the Economical Ministries and to the city for this small but important step towards addressing the homelessness in our city. Housing is a human right. We have a housing emergency that worsens daily, as many people have testified. Poor people, including people who are without houses, are part of this city and should not be ignored, criminalized, or fined out of existence. Here are some actions that I suggest take place immediately in addition to this resolution. Lift the camping ban and stop the criminalization of homelessness. This ordinance waives enforcement of code violations associated with overnight camping. The waiver should extend to existing and future camping sites that provide emergency housing within our city. Specifically, the council should direct BDS to waive the ordinances that they are trying, saying that Right to Dream 2 is violating, and allow Right to Dream 2 to remain. Mandate that for every dollar spent on commercial development in this city, $2 are spent on affordable housing. The city of Portland also needs to audit the PDC thoroughly, and if you don't, we are, especially the use of tax dollars that are supposed to be spent for affordable housing. This article here, as you probably well know, is about Headwaters, and I'm just going to quote a couple things from there. Though the city lacks enough housing for poorest residents, leaders chose to spend $14.7 million in public money to build 100-unit Headwaters for middle-income workforce residents. The complex does not cater mostly or even exclusively to residents making less than 80% of the area's median income, despite tapping money for that purpose. Headwaters was not designed for the needy, but used affordable housing money. City Housing said Headwaters, which opened in 2007, would generate profits to be invested in affordable housing. Today, they can't point to a single dollar spent elsewhere. I'm going to keep talking. To me, this is where, instead of focusing on the violations that this lovely community is being made at Right to Dream 2, they should focus on these violations first. Then we'll talk about Right to Dream 2.
Thank you very much. Sir?
My name is Glenn Silberstorff. Thank you, commissioners, in particular Commissioner Fish, for introducing this resolution. First of all, let me say that I do like this step. It obviously doesn't do everything we want, but it is a step in the right direction. I am personally concerned with Exhibit A, guidelines associated with overnight sleeping activities, specifically Guideline 3, Subsection D, to not allow even temporary hookups for a hose to refill the water tanks of an RV or just an extension cord to recharge one's phone or run a small heater seems highly unnecessary and also diminishes the ability of this program from being successful. The only alternatives are generators or to leave the engine running. Beyond the environmental impacts of those options, it states in Guideline 5, Subsection D, that these options may not even be available at all host properties and with all vehicles. leaving people to freeze in their cars rather than on the streets. It's not good enough, especially with reviews so far out. Let's let the churches and NPOs decide in the moment how best to help the people. Let's remove this subsection from the resolution and pass it quickly.
Thank you very much. Ma'am?
Good morning to you, council members. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. My name is Claudine Long, and I've been chronically homeless for 10 years off and on. I'm an individual who has no income except for food stamps. I'm also disabled and not able to work. I'm a member of Right to Dream, too, and I think that allowing homeless individuals to stay in their vehicles for a period of time on church property is an awesome idea, but it's not enough for individuals like myself who have no vehicles. Right to Dream, too, is a temporary place and is working for individuals like myself. If it wasn't for Right to Dream, too, I'd probably still be on the sidewalk somewhere. Right to Dream, too, has worked and still is working. Also, there's not enough shelters for women and couples who are homeless downtown. Wouldn't it be safe to say that these individuals need a place to be? I sit before you today to speak not only for myself, but for not only for myself, but for me, a homeless human being. I have the right to dream, too. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Sir?
Hello, my name is Christopher Lee Ellingson. I'm currently staying at Right to Dream, too. I do support the sleeping overnight in cars and church parking lots, but you guys haven't said, you guys set up guidelines already to limit it to certain people in certain churches. So you guys ain't even come close of doing anything for the homeless in the state of Oregon. And if you guys are true Oregonians like myself, you know my name, you read my name, you see my face in the newspapers for my community service. I started with the Hillsboro 4-H Police Puppy Cadet Program in 1976. And subsequently, in 1985, one of my dogs was shot and killed in line of duty in Coos Bay. After that, in 1985, I joined the Cornelius Volunteer Fire Department. My face has been in the paper for my outstanding work with them. And in 1997, I was returning home from a call, near drowning call. We were in a horrendous crash. I almost lost myself and three of my fellow firefighters returning home. And you guys ain't hardly doing anything for the homelessness in Portland. I've been living on the streets for the last 10 months, and I hear everybody telling me, go to TPI, go to the new Bud Clark's Common. And the Bud Clark's Commons is a multi-million dollar building you guys put up, but it has zero emergency shelter at all in that brand new building. All you guys are trying to do is bring people in and hurry up and get them housing. But you guys are forgetting, if you go in there to Doreen's place, you guys are just bringing in new faces every day. You're kicking out 250 people a month. You're just recycling them back out onto the street constantly. I see everybody that I've been in Doreen's with, they're right back on the street within a week. You guys are only helping out the veterans. You guys are getting them in housings or in motels, but you're not doing anything for the civilians that are just temporarily homeless at this time. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for your service.
And the last three are Michael O'Callaghan, Bao Young, and Cameron Witten.
Good morning. You'll each have 2 minutes. We'll begin with you, sir.
My name is Bao. I'm here to speak as a citizen. I didn't sleep very well last night because I was preparing a short 2-minute speech on what I would say to appeal to you. And in the process of doing that, I find myself flabbergasted of why I even had to do that. Because I'm here to speak about a human issue. It's a human right issue, and housing is a human right. Everyone has the right to basic need, food, water, and shelter. And I learned something from a little girl who is 13-year-old who reminded me that if you can't fix something or if you don't know the solution to something, you shouldn't try to fix it, and you'll only make it worse. And I'm here to speak as a human being for other people who are on the street. Why is it that we have to appeal to you for the right to sleep, for the right to be able to have a place to stay, to shelter from the weather, who's being forced out of their home. In Florida, three people got arrested for being involved with the